simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus, I behold thee as thou art, and thy love so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart, satisfies its deepest longings, meets, supplies its every need, compasseth me round with blessings.
Very good. Before we get started this evening, I wonder if anybody has any testimony of praise to the Lord. Any way that God has worked in your life that you'd like to share? No need to share anything, but just want to give you an opportunity. Yes, Trevor. Very good. Very good. Anyone else? Testimony of praise. All right. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. And let me get my computer here and we're going to get set up. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 40, I think. All right. John chapter 1 and verse 40. Now, we've been looking at a few things here, trying to jog your memory on what has been taking place here. Jesus has, of course, we're not going to go through everything, but Jesus has been baptized to identify with sinners, and I'm thankful for his identification with us. And it was after this that he was come right off the mountaintop of this baptism experience and then right into the wilderness and into the desert, which he was tempted, tested, tried for a number of days, 40 days. And we praise the Lord, of course, that he set for us a pattern, a biblical pattern for us, and how we can escape the temptations and how we can be victorious and overcome those things. And so we look at the pattern of Jesus Christ and the pathway that he provides for us and being delivered from that. And upon being delivered from this, we look at, as he leaves this area of the Jordan River Valley, just north of the Salt Sea, heading north, he's going to start heading towards Cana, which we're going to look at here on the map in just a moment. As he starts heading there, then of course he goes by, and John the Baptist with a few of his disciples look at him, and we learn of that tremendous phrase that's been given: "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And what a tremendous few times we got to look at that and the significance of that phrase: "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We pick up right after that, as John is very carefully recording the days that take place, and we find ourselves, John the Baptist just saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," and as he is there, one of John's disciples looks at Jesus. Of course, now they're in close proximity, and you can see in verse 38, Jesus asks, "What seek ye?" Obviously, they were looking for something, and could tell by their demeanor, and they answer, "Rabbi," or "Master, where dwellest thou?" Why did they ask this question? I guess they just wanted to learn more of him and where he lived and what he did. And so he answers them, come and see. And we looked at a couple different pathways of that invitation to these folks, that he was willing to listen, give them a listening ear. He cared about them. He was willing to invite them. He gave them an invitation to come. But he was, more than that, he was able to provide them with the means of what they needed and what they wanted. And then, of course, there's the power of the answer to that desire in which we have. God is always able to pull through and provide everything and give great blessing. And so certainly these men were able to come and see about Jesus Christ there, the Lamb of God. So let's pick up. He just gives the answer of come and see. And let's start in verse 40. This just picks up right from then. Read a few verses, then we'll look at the map here for just a few moments. John chapter 1 and verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now start to think about who we're introducing here. These are the first kind of disciples that Jesus is able to pick up. So first of all, we have Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Let me stop there. We're looking at the pathway of Jesus Christ, but what do we have here? What do we have here with Andrew? We have a person that is going soul winning, right? He goes to somebody else. You know, he just was, you know, just, you know, he is probably one of the ones that wanted to come and see. Again, one of the two which heard John speak. So John the Baptist and two others that were there, that were, you know, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Master, where do you dwell? Come and see. And they went with him. They saw where he was. And now right away, one of these two was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother. I mean, right away he was introduced to Christ and he went and found somebody else and saith unto them, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. What a testimony. Folks, when God does something in our lives, when God leads us, brings us an invitation to himself, and we see something great, it might be in your devotions. It might be in church one day. Something great happened. Maybe just in your life, God did something, like Brother Trevor shared with us. You know, God did something for us. Folks, let's take other people to see Christ as well. Come and, you know, I want you to come and see now. You see, here we have that following Christ pattern. And certainly Andrew, one of these first young men that go and follow Christ in his pattern, come and see. And he says the same thing. He brought him to Jesus. And so, just a tremendous blessing for us, not that we look at Christ's pattern here, but look at this example of Andrew that is one of these first ones to testify of Christ, saying, listen, we just received a blessing. I want you to come, and I want you to see for yourself. And so he goes out and gets his brother. And so he says, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So he finds his brother. But look at verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now we could look a little bit into that. The goal tonight is not to look into Peter himself and look why he's called a stone. But of course a tremendous statement that is being said here of how God was choosing to use him in a great way. A little stone, yet he would be the rock and pillar of the church. Not that Peter is anything, but of course his diligence and what he did for the Lord would be the foundation of the church. And so we praise the Lord. But let's look at verse 43. And this is really where I want to start looking at tonight. I want you to notice Christ. Again, we're following his pattern. Okay, what did Christ do in this situation? The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Let's read verse 44 just to give us a little help with Philip. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. All right. So let's get into the geography. Here we have Philip of Bethsaida. Before we look at Bethsaida and see where that is, let's look at our map here. And we see this part of the world, which we are not a part of right here, but a long way away. But as we get in closer here, we come to this land, which I hope that you're getting to know what it looks like. And so probably about at the top of the map is the area in which we would call Israel. And then down to the bottom. Now, just for shape, you can almost see it in the picture here. And I've got a laser pointer here. I don't know if you'll be able to see. Can you see that? It's amazing what other people can see that I can't. So, you know, and I'm colorblind, and so looking at a small dot, I'll probably lose it. Okay, but right up here to the top is about the top boundary of Israel. It could go up to the north. This area over here is the Transjordan on the other side of the Jordan River. And so some of this is kind of indicative of Israel, just the Transjordan side of it. Okay, now I want to, before we go any further though, let's look at the southern boundary here. Probably at the southern boundary. You notice that where any mountains that you do have, which are not much, but anything that you do have ends right around down here on the south side of the Salt Sea, just to the west of that. You notice that? The geography looks very plain, okay? Probably Israel comes down right into here and comes over like this, okay? So if you're following that, my wife also told me that I needed to make my little hand here bigger, and so you can see that. Again, if you can follow that, probably Israel is somewhere down into here. Let's hone in just a little bit on the southern portion. You can see, and you know, here a border right there. It's almost geographically, you can see that. But you notice, what do you notice? Nothing, right? You notice nothing. Hey, that's what it is out there. It's pretty much sand. It's pretty much just barren desert, okay? Let's go back out of here and let's look. Now let's look at this. All right, give you a little bit of a quiz. As I point to it with a pointer, you tell me what city we are talking about. Who knows? Let me get just a little bit closer in here. All right. What city would be, what would be right here? Okay, so we have Jerusalem. I'll get that on our map here in just a moment. So we have Jerusalem right here. Just to the south of that, what do we have? City of Bethlehem, where Jesus Christ was born. So we have Jerusalem. We have Bethlehem. What body of water do we have here? Okay, the Mediterranean Sea, which is a large body of water. What about this right here? Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, okay? And then in the northern end of that, we have a river that is going up. And what river is this? This is the Jordan River. You follow that to the north, and it connects to what other body of water? All right, we have the Sea of Galilee. For the most part, when we talk about Israel, we are talking about this area right in here, okay? This is what we talk about. You know, in the Old Testament, it was divided into two divided kingdoms. Remember, we have the north and the south. We have Israel and Judah. And that division is going to be about where that hand is. It's going to be just a little bit north of Jerusalem. And this would have been called Israel, and this would have been called what? This would have been Judah, okay? So just so that you understand these things. All right, we have a small town right up in this area right here. Does anybody remember what that town is? These are towns that we've looked at so far. This is the city of Nazareth. City of Nazareth. And what geographic location that I'm outlining right here was Nazareth in? It was in the region of Galilee. Okay, so you're reading through your Bible and you see Galilee, is so many times you think it may be referring to a city. It's a region. It's a region of Galilee. So we read here, Jesus enters into Galilee. He entered into the region, okay, of Galilee. So we have Galilee in this area right here, okay? So Nazareth, right up in there. This is where Mary and Joseph, of course, came from. Again, I was reading a little bit more this week on Jesus' baptism. Again, we typically looked at Bethabara down in this area, seemingly, but some really think that it might have been up in this area that he was baptized, and we don't really know. But as long as you understand the possibilities. Let me go over here into my map and let's make these places that we just mentioned known to you. Okay, we didn't look at Egypt, but Bethabara beyond Jordan, we looked at that. We looked at Nazareth, we looked at Bethlehem and Jerusalem. All right, I want to look at, we read about Philip. Where did Philip, where was his town? What does it say in the scriptures we just read? Where was Philip from? All right, he's from Bethsaida. Now, Bethsaida, anybody know where Bethsaida is? Now, maybe some of you are looking at your maps. Okay, where's Bethsaida? Okay, it is right on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, okay? And so let's come in a little bit closer here. Here we have Bethsaida. Just to the north is where the Jordan, you know, River, you know, the inlet, you know, to the Sea of Galilee would come in right in here, just right on the top border here, okay? And then Capernaum just a little bit a ways. Here we have Bethsaida. And it says, notice that it wasn't just Philip, but as we look at this, this was a place also, the city of Andrew and Peter. So obviously there were some disciples that came from this area. There's Bethsaida. Now it just says where they came from. It doesn't mean that Jesus was at Bethsaida right now. It says this is where they came from. So don't get confused and say, why was Jesus way up there? No, it just says that's where they were from. Okay, let's, as we go back out, look at where Jesus is going to be coming from. If we look at this Bethabara beyond Jordan, you know, we look at this area. Now, Jesus has quite a distance to go. We don't know exactly. Probably where he saw, you know, John the Baptist was down here. If this was the area, wherever he was, somewhere in the Jordan, he was baptizing people. And he had disciples with him. And so he's going to start taking off. Where did he see Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus had come probably down here south of Jericho. By the way, if you can catch down here in the south, kind of the words Bethabara beyond Jordan are going over Jericho right here. This is Jericho. Probably the temptation is just a little bit south of that in the desert. Now, Jesus is going to take at least, according to John, it seems like a two-day journey. Some commentators and people say it is impossible for Jesus to go all the way up to the north, which we'll look at Cana here in just a moment, to make it all the way up there in 2 days. And so I cannot give you the answer. So could John have been baptizing a little bit to the north possibly? You know, isn't it going to be neat someday when we're going to get all the answers given to us and we get to heaven? You know, we don't know where all these places are. Let me give you one more place before we continue on. We're not to Cana yet, but where is Jesus heading to? We know that in the Gospel of John that he's heading from this area where John was baptizing, and we find him next in Cana. So let me just give you where Cana is, and it might be a little bit different on your map because Cana is an unknown place at this time. We don't know exactly where Cana was, okay? Because you understand that when you study, you don't just look on a map and find Cana. You don't just look on a map and find Bethsaida. You don't just look on a map and find Bethabara. You don't look at a map. They're all different names today, modern day. So it's very difficult, and I spend a lot of time researching these places. But if we think, again, Cana in reference to Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee, you see, good chance that Cana was somewhere in this area, right in here, okay? Just to the west of that, kind of the bulge in the Sea of Galilee, somewhere in this area. Map that I looked at put Cana right here, but Again, most places will tell you that's a little bit unknown. Some of your maps in the back of your Bible might give you a little bit different of a location, but it was north of Nazareth, somewhere in that area. Okay, I just wanted to catch you up, give you a little bit of review of where Jesus is heading, just kind of jog your memory. It's been a number of weeks since we have pulled the map down and had a look, okay? So now let's look at some pathways that Jesus went here in our last little bit before. I'm going to go ahead and close this. We can go ahead and turn off the map here. Let's look and see what can we find here with what Jesus had given here with Philip. Now, I am always, in looking at these pathways, I'm always looking at what Jesus does, looking at what he says, and what we can practically get out of it. And I was reading through verse 43, so look at verse 43 with me. Take note, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. So he enters that geographical location of Galilee, heading towards Cana, and what are the next three words? Somebody go ahead. And findeth Philip. Now, let's be true here. Philip did not find Jesus, right? Who found who? Jesus found Philip. I thought that was interesting. Jesus found this Philip of Bethsaida. He found him. Jesus is in the business of finding people. He finds them. He finds these individuals. You know, some said, hey, I've got them. Come and see him. And they brought him to Jesus. But Jesus has a mentality of finding people. And I thought it was interesting. I've never noticed this in my life when I've read through this passage. But Jesus found Philip. He found him. Did he go out searching? I don't know. But I do remember when I look at this, when I read that verse and I read that phrase, and findeth Philip, it definitely brought me to a passage in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. As I was thinking about the person of Jesus Christ, because this is who Jesus is. Go ahead and look at Luke 19:10 really quick. You see, one of the main purposes in which Jesus comes to the earth is for the purpose of seeking men. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, we see very clearly, for the Son of Man. Let me stop and ask you a question. Who is the Son of Man in this verse? Okay, Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man is come, why? To seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, that is the main purpose of Jesus Christ, to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. He is seeking people. Now, that is Jesus Christ's agenda. That's what he came for. He came to seek people out. As we look at this series, if Jesus Christ came to do it, what ought we also to be doing? We need to be seeking men. We need to be seeking men. Folks, it is our mentality. We love people to come to us, don't we? Now, did people come to Jesus? Certainly, there were men that came to Jesus. We just read about Andrew bringing Simon to Jesus. There were certainly times when people come to us. You know, it is a blessing when somebody comes to us. Have you ever had somebody come to you seeking the Lord? I'm really asking you that. Anybody have a testimony? Can you remember a time when somebody came to you and wanted to know about God? Any hands? Anybody? Okay, a few people. You have had people, you know, I'm looking at you and I'm just, you've had people come to you and wanted to know. Wasn't that a blessing when somebody came to you asking? I mean, that took the, I hesitate to say work out of it, but wow, it's like dropped right in your lap there. And I've had different, you know, times in my life when somebody asked me a question and say, I'm glad you asked. You know, let me share with you. You know, it's a wonderful thing when people want to come to Christ. It's a wonderful thing when people want to find out about God. They ask certain questions and they want to hear. They want to listen. There's an open door. There's an open opportunity. You know, I was talking with somebody this morning about Brother Martin's ministry. What a blessed ministry that he has with these people, because it's not like he has to go and recruit. He doesn't have to go and drag people out of their cells. These are men that want to find Jesus. You know, that's a blessing. You know, to have 12 men that want to learn about Jesus, you know, you think maybe the prison ministry is scary. But I tell you what, for him, he's got a bunch of men that want to find out about Jesus. Well, he gets to go and just, that's a tremendous opportunity. And we can rejoice when men want to seek Jesus, but I want to tell you something. Is that always the case? Look, sometimes we need to follow Jesus' pathway. They show up to Jesus, but Jesus goes to seek other people. You know, we can wait and wait and wait. I'm just praying that somebody would come knock on my door and want to hear the gospel. And boy, when they come, I'm going to be ready. By the way, sometimes they do come and knock on doors and we're not ready. What do you think? You ever had an opportunity come? And I say your door. And when I say your door, I mean to you personally. And somebody asked you a question and you weren't ready to answer. You gave some little thing. You were nervous. You just kind of said something. And when they left, what did you do? Somebody did it. I don't know who it was. Dwayne. Ah. Have you ever done that? I just blew it. Why didn't I say this? That was a perfect opportunity. Sometimes we're not even ready when they do come to our door. Folks, we need to be ready to give an account. We need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh. Certainly when men ask, we need to be ready. Folks, are you ready? Are you ready to give an account? Do you know the verses? Can you share the gospel with people? But let's look here. We're not even talking so much about being ready when they come knock at our doors. Jesus went and he found Philip. Folks, we need to be willing to go out and find people. If Jesus is in the business and ministry of finding people, then what ought we to do? We ought to be seeking people. Some of us are waiting for people to come knock on our doors. It might happen, and the day that it does, it'll be a glorious day. And I trust that you'll share with us when somebody does. But I want to tell you something. We need to be like Jesus Christ, and we need to be seeking people that need the Lord. You see, God is in the business of preparing people. I know that God is working in people's hearts, preparing them for the seed to be sown. That's God's job. You think God is going to always do his job? You think God is ever going to neglect doing his job one day? I ask you that question. You think God will do that? We will do that some days, right? We will be negligent. We won't do the work. We might not prepare like we ought to. But I'll tell you something. God never is unprepared. God is always working in people's lives. He's always preparing souls. He's always preparing. But it's going to take somebody to come along and plant. It's going to take somebody to come along and water. We need to be about seeking those people as well. If Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners, we cannot save them, but we ought to be seeking them so that we can point them to Christ. Are we seeking people that are trying to find him? You know, I pray, so this last time we went out for soul winning, I was burdened. We prayed a little bit more for it. I don't think we prayed steer far enough yet, but we made a little bit more of an effort. We prayed on Wednesday night. We prayed a few, you know, other times, you know, that God would help us to find some people. But we prayed a little bit more. And the prayer, at least that I was praying, was, God, would you please lead us? Does anybody remember on Wednesday night I talked about it? Lead us to who? People that are needy, people that are seeking him, people that God has already prepared. Lord, would you lead us to the people that need to hear? And I remember, I can't vouch for the other groups that went out, but I remember Rick and I went out together. And we knocked on the one door, and there was a number of kids in there. And this lady came, and she was very distracted with the children, and there was a lot going on in that household. But even through it all, that young lady was there, and she, you know, and I went through kind of what I've been teaching you, trying to make a connection, but at the same time, telling her that we understand that life is tough, and we want to be a blessing. Is there anything we can pray for? Still, most people, we've had some good responses, but still most people, what's their answer? For those of you who have went out, what's typically the answer still? I'm pretty good. I want to argue with them, but I don't. I'm pretty good. Things are going okay. I don't think I need any prayer. And I usually like to stick in, well, we'll pray for you anyway. I know I need prayer, and we'll try to pray for you. And they thank you, and you're off on your way. But this young lady, Nicole, she hesitated for a moment, but then she said, well, and she went on to share a need that you could tell she was burdened about, even with all the distraction that was there. And you could tell it wasn't just something that she was throwing out. She was mentioning it. You say, Pastor, did she get saved? No, she didn't. At least I don't know of it. Did anything major happen? I don't know. I tell you what, when I walked away from that door, I was so grateful that God had plowed the way, prepared the way for somebody that needed help. And she recognized that I do need something, and maybe we gave her more than what she thought she needed. But I can tell you one thing, she went away knowing what she did need. Whether she'll take him or not, I don't know. Folks, Jesus is in the business of preparing people. He's in the business of right now working in people's lives. Wouldn't it be neat? You know, I love deer hunting. I love, especially this time of year, you know, I think about it and I love to get out in the woods. I don't get out there very often, but I love to think about that. When I drive down the road, I'm looking for deer all the time. And I'm not looking so I don't hit a deer. I'm looking just to see deer. You know, everywhere I go, I'm looking for deer. You know, I've often thought, wouldn't it be neat to be able to, if everything, I'm in the woods right now, wouldn't it be able to, if everything were cleared and I could see all the deer running around me, you know, that they couldn't hide behind anything. Wouldn't it be neat to, you know, be driving down the road and everything was clear and a big pinpoint would come down on all these animals that are out there and I could just see everything. You know what, folks? Wouldn't it be neat if we could all of a sudden flip a switch and we could see all of the homes that God was preparing these people to hear the gospel? Do we have that ability? We don't. What does that mean that we have to do? Because we know God's doing his work, right? Is God preparing souls? He is. What do we need to do then? We need to go and seek them. We need to go find them. Listen, there wasn't a big star on top of Nicole's house that day. We had to go out there and find her. We had to go out there and knock on doors. We had to have an eye open. We had to be praying. We had to say, God, would you lead us to those doors? Would you lead us to those people? There were a couple other groups that went out, and there were some good testimonies, some people that were needing another church that was closer, some people that needed this or that. There were some people invited that need a church. You say, where are they? I don't know, but that's God's business. Our job was to go and seek them out and to find them and give them that literature, give them the verses, give them the gospel, give them an invitation. God needs to do the rest. We did what we're supposed to do. You see, it's in Jesus Christ's pathway to seek out people. He sought out Philip. And Philip was used of the Lord in a tremendous way. Philip's going to go find somebody else. Philip's going to be a preacher. Philip's going to be an evangelist. Philip's going to go do things. Had Jesus not sought out Philip, where would Philip be? I praise the Lord that God sought me. Folks, we need to go and seek out other people just like Jesus Christ. They are not going to come knocking on our doors in droves saying, would you take me to Jesus? That would be wonderful. It might happen to you. For some of you, it's happened, but it's typically not the rule. We need to go out there and find them. Are you thankful that somebody sought you out when you got saved? I am. Somebody sought me. I did not go to my parents. They came to me. I praise the Lord for people that God has prepared to, for us to go and find. You see, it's always been God's endeavor to go and seek people. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. He sought us. In the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, we read, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am chief. Are we seeking people that need help? Are we going out to find people who are in need? Divine appointments. Are you praying for divine appointments? Do you think that God is willing to answer the prayer of a divine appointment? Do you think? Why don't we get the divine appointments? I don't believe we're seeking them. It's tremendous. The times that I say, God, would you give me somebody that I can witness to? Guess what happens? I find them. God brings them to me or something. We find them. But I'll tell you what, if I'm busy a certain week and I don't do anything, guess what I don't find? And you know what? We can get in a rut and we can say, you know, I haven't. I just don't remember the last person that I saw that I could share the gospel with. Or is it because they're not out there? So I want to tell you something. The woods are filled with deer, but if we're not looking for them, we might not see them. Our country is filled with people. We just got to open our eyes and start going out looking for these people. And there are people that are, as Christ mentions, that are white. The fields are white. What did he mean when he said that? They're ready for the harvest. What did he mean? He's done his work. We've got to get out there and find them. So he finds us. Praise the Lord. Last little bit here. I want to see another pathway. So we read verse 43. Go back to John chapter 1. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. We praise the Lord that he found Philip and saith unto him. Now what were the words that Jesus said unto Philip? He said, follow me. Now, he's the master. We have Jesus Christ. He's the master. And they would know him later on as their master. Master. In fact, he was referred to here. Master. Master. Rabbi. Master. The disciples would grow to call him their master. He's the master. And he says what? You see, he's worthy of saying, follow me. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ, he says, follow me. What does that tell us about Jesus? Now, there's no pride involved here. Why could Jesus say, follow me? You see, he knew that he was worthy to be followed because he was who? He was the Son of God. He was God, right? So he could say, follow me, because he knew that he was the answer to them. They needed to follow him. Jesus knew that his life was worthy to follow. Jesus was inviting Philip to follow him. He says, Philip, let me be a pattern for you to follow. Come and learn of me. Study me. Look at what I do. Listen to what I say and see how I do it, because one day I want you to go and do the same thing. He says, I want to be a pathway for you. I want to be a pattern for you. I want to be a goal for you. I want to lead you into truth. Now you say, well, that pastor was Jesus. Jesus could say, follow me. There was somebody, though, in the Bible that said that wasn't Jesus Christ. You say, how dare would somebody say, follow me? Do you remember who this man was? Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And then Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them, which walk as ye have for us an example. Paul is there saying, follow me. Now, was Paul's point to say, listen, I want you to do everything that I do? His point was, you follow me as I follow who? As I'm walking behind Christ, you come and walk behind me as well. And if you walk behind me, then you're walking behind Christ. Now that is the key that we look at. You see, God does want us to follow Christ's pathway. And we should be able to say, hey, people, you follow me. But that's only acceptable if I'm doing what? Following Christ. Listen, I ought not say anybody follow me if I'm not willing to follow Christ. Yet there are a lot of people in our world today that want you to follow them.
You turn on your television. They want you to follow them. Look, listen, you read my book. You follow my pattern. You'll have a happy life. You do this and you'll walk with Jesus. No. We need to be individuals that are patterning Christ's life. So really who they're patterning through me is Christ. It's not about us. But folks, as I look at this, though, I look at this pathway of leadership. It's a pathway of leadership. Are we leadership material? You say, Pastor, I'm not a leader. Folks, God has called us to be leaders. Did you hear that? God has called you as a Christian to be a leader. We ought to be able to say, follow me. Not because we need them to follow exactly everything I do, but you ought to follow me as I follow Christ. And when they look at our lives, they should see Christ through us, and they should be getting that pattern of following Jesus Christ. One of the biggest things that I get scared of in my life, and the responsibility that God has given to me, yes, being a pastor is a great responsibility. But when I look at the fact that my children look at me as a picture of who the Father is, that scares me. You see, that's the principle that we get here. They look at me because it's hard. Children have a hard time understanding the concept, and he's not a concept, he's a person, but the character of God. In fact, some of us adults have a hard time thinking about God, don't we? That's why Jesus Christ was given. There's God in the flesh that people could see. Well, he's not here, and so now God has given the Holy Spirit, but he's given us to be Christians, little Christs, so that the world could see Christ through us. We are a picture of Christ. Folks, that's a big responsibility. So when people look at me, they're supposed to be looking at Christ. So the pattern that I am setting, they are looking at me and say, okay, so that's what Christ does. That's what a Christian does. That's what I'm going to do. I tell my older children, you know, the little ones are watching you. You better be careful that you are setting a pattern for them to follow, the right pattern. The question with this is, are we setting the right pattern? You see, Jesus could say, follow me. And he was leading the pattern of who God was. I'll take you to God. Will you take people to Jesus in your life? If people were to follow you, where would they end up? You know, I could mention one of my little ones, and I could say, okay, what if they walked with you for a day? What would they do? What would they learn? What would they be singing? What would music they be listening to? What would they be watching on the television? Where would they go? Would we feel safe in letting people follow you? You know, it's amazing, little children will mimic what you do, right? It is so amazing. They watch you do certain things. They watch the way you walk. They listen to the way you talk. You give them a little bit of time with an individual and they will begin to follow in that same way. But you know what? It's not just little people. It's everyone. We make a big impact on people. Big impact. People become who they are around. There are certainly people around you. What is the pattern that we're setting? What is the pattern that we're setting for people? If somebody in the world were to follow you around through the day, at the end of the day, would they have a good picture of Jesus Christ? You think about that just for a moment. Now, if Philip followed Jesus, would he have set a good example of who God the Father was? What do you think? Of course he would, because he is God. So Jesus could say that, folks, I know that we could look and say, well, that was Jesus, but that's you as a Christian. We are expected, like Paul, to say, follow me. Follow me, because in following me, you're going to be following Christ. I'll tell you what, that statement that Paul made indicated Paul's life had to have been a life that was patterned after Christ's. Could you say to your neighbors, follow me. Follow me for a day.
and it will set you straight, because in following me, you will be following Christ. You see, ultimately, we are to point people to following Christ. We need to be that good example to all the potential followers that are out there. And by the way, adults, you are setting a pattern for the children that are in our church. They will follow. They will follow the adults that they see. It's just the way it is. Parents, children are going to follow what you set. Grandparents, children are going to follow what you set. Everyone, people are supposed to follow what we set. Let's make sure that we're on the same pathway as Christ. As he walked up to Cana, he said, follow me. Follow me. I trust that we will have that same pattern in our lives, to follow Christ so that we can lead people to Christ as well. Father, I thank you for the couple different pathways that we looked at tonight. I thank you for the geography. We can see where you go, but we can also see what you did and how you patterned. Lord, I thank you for this example with Philip. First of all, I thank you that you seek people. Lord, I pray that we would be following that pattern, that we would be seeking people as well, that we'd always be looking. Lord, I'm praying this week. I look at my week this week. It is a very busy week. Have a lot going on this week. And I, in the outset, I look at it and say, how am I going to have any divine appointments this week? There's just no way. But God, I know that you're in the business of seeking and saving people. And so, Lord, I am with these people as witness, saying, God, would you please give me divine appointments this week? God, would you lead me to somebody? Would you help me to find somebody? God, would you do something that I could talk to somebody this week? Would you open up a door? God, help me to take a door, maybe that is just partially open. God, would you please give me somebody this week that I can share? Lord, thank you for burdening my heart and convicting me through this message. God, I pray for these folks. God, would you give them divine appointments? I pray that next week we could get together and we could learn about all the different divine appointments that you set forth. God, I pray that we tonight as a congregation would make decisions to be praying about divine appointments and asking for divine appointments. God, help us to seek people out like Christ did. Lord, I also pray that you would help us in our lives, that we would be that example and pattern, like Christ was an example and pattern, to lead people to you, to lead people to him. God, that we can say, follow, follow as I follow Christ. God, help us. Help us, we pray. Thank you for a wonderful day. And it is all because of Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.